This is Vic Miller with Forum. What's Forum? Well, Forum is a collection of vignettes in which we interview an awful lot of people with many dimensions. We are now in the political season. So who do we talk to? Well, we talk to politicians. In front of me now is Robin Andrews. So, Robin Andrews, let's begin.
Thank you.
Robin, you're running in the 43rd Senatorial District of the state of New York. How about describing the boundaries since they have changed?
That's a great point, Vic, because it is very confusing for people. The 43rd District now includes all of Columbia County, all of Rensselaer County, except for the cities of Rensselaer and the cities of Troy, except it does include Lansingburg, which is the top of Troy. And then it includes two towns in Washington County, which are Easton and Cambridge. And then still in Saratoga County, it covers four counties. It's the eastern half of Saratoga County with a little bit of jiggering. It's Half Moon, Stillwater, Mechanicville, Saratoga, Saratoga Springs, Northumberland, Greenfield, and Murrow. I think I covered everybody, but it's that eastern half.
Mm-hmm. Realistically, how do you get around? How do you get, for people who have not seen you or not aware of you and don't know your background, mm-hmm. how do you get around?
Well, I've certainly been doing a lot of driving, it's a truly beautiful district, so it is always a pleasure to be traveling the district, and I have been, there are more people in the Saratoga and Rensselaer area, so I've been spending more time up there, and we just opened an office in Saratoga Springs, as well as there's an office in Hudson. And, if I have the honor and the pleasure of taking the Senate seat, then we will definitely have an office in Saratoga Springs, for instance, for the Senate.
Well, you come to this fork in the road, but you've been a practitioner of the political arts for quite a while. Want to give us some of your experiences?
Sure. I actually don't come from a political background or family. When I moved to the village of Philmont, I started being involved in the Main Street Committee and the Comprehensive Plan, and got really involved and had the opportunity to run for village trustee in Philmont. So that's probably about 5 years ago now, maybe six. And so I ran for village trustee and then had the opportunity when we had there was a fight for the nursing home and to keep the nursing home within the village, and it's a county nursing home instead.
Why were they going to move the nursing home and where?
They were looking at moving the nursing home into a facility that was being built in Valencia. And which sort of would be moving towards perhaps privatizing it. The reason that the county was looking at that was because it was losing about $500,000 a year, and they were concerned that the trend was going to increase and would be an increasing burden on the taxpayers. But when we looked at the entire picture, not only brought up what the impact on the taxpayers would be in Philmont, what that would do to the Claverick area, and sort of put some pressure on, and they examined it further. We decided, I was actually on the committee that helped to analyze the different options, and it now is actually in the black. I mean, it does not lose money.
How did it move from 500,000 in the red to now currently in the black?
Yeah.
Was that your doing, your involvement?
Well, I think that... I would love to say that the whole thing was mine, but we cannot give credit like that. what was true is that the Pine Haven Nursing Home, which is in Philmont, is a five-star nursing home, and people weren't as much aware of that. So a lot of the publicity and talking about it and what it offered helped to raise the awareness, and the occupancy rate went up Which helped to quell the thing. So now we're actually, because of that, the success of it and the occupancy staying up and the pride and the work that nursing home has done, we're building, the county's actually now looking at building a new nursing home. Total impact of moving that would have really hurt also Philmont in general and probably the Central Park, so we might have had more impact.
Now, success. After that experience, where'd you go? What did you do?
Sorry.
You obviously now are very popular.
Right. Well, and part of... that's part of what gave me the inspiration to run for supervisor, because to see how, or to understand the importance of making thoughtful, well-examined decisions, which instead of more knee-jerk decisions, was why I ran, because I thought I could offer that. And so that's why I ran for supervisor, and I was the first Democrat in the town to win in 35 years. So it was a close race and took a little while, but to determine the outcome. But I did win the supervisor seat, which I totally love. And that's actually, when you asked me originally why, this steps up, I really love this work, and that's why I'm doing it.
Isn't Philmont, being relatively new to New York State, of recent time, I have lived in New York State. Mm-hmm. Many years ago. I passed through Philmont, I think, about a month ago. Mm-hmm. It had a long Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
That's correct,
and
yes.
It goes circuitous and
yeah, it's
hilly.
A little hilly,
okay.
Yes, that's
then
the place.
I'm,
that's the
okay,
place, yes.
I know where I am. Well, Philmont seems to be, or at least that Main Street I was on, it's seeking an identity, isn't it?
Well, I think it has actually changed. When we moved in 15 years ago, Main Street was actually a big hotel and old department store that were all boarded up, which are now housing units.
Yeah.
There was a house that really wasn't occupied that became the library. So there was a garage that became a restaurant. So it actually, there has been a lot of change in up-and-comingness of Philmont, and there's still opportunity there, absolutely.
Since your opponent has lots of business experience via being a county clerk for so many years...
I wouldn't call that business experience.
You wouldn't call it business?
No, I think
okay.
That's working in
what
government.
What would you call it?
I think that's called working in government.
Okay, working in government. But certainly handling funds and being involved in programs. What do you bring to the table?
Well, that's actually the main difference. I actually am a budgeting planning consultant, so I actually have business experience in... specifically in how we make businesses
non-governmental.
Non-governmental,
experience.
Right, mm-hmm. Correct. So I bring the government legislative experience from my being supervisor and the actual business analytical experience that I think is what really government needs today, because when we're in these economic challenges that we are now, the financial challenges that make all decisions in essence difficult, you really have to be able not only to look at it from the business standpoint and the long and short-term impacts fiscally, but also marrying that with how we're supporting people and how we're doing the work of government, which is to help empower us.
Robin Andrews, in your data that you gave me. You have a sentence which you say fiscal policy that eases the tax burden on business and individuals alike. Now, the inference I get is that you're going to lower taxes for these entities, for the individual homeowner and for business. But yet the cost of government still exists and keeps on going up. If you cut taxes, how do you provide the money?
Well, what it says is fiscal responsibility. And what you have to do is figure out, excuse me, I think that if we can use our taxes efficiently and effectively, then we're making the best use of our taxes. And that's what has to happen in order for us to...
Let me ask you for a more concrete example.
Yeah.
What's the budget of your town?
$2 million.
You have $2 million. You are not going to turn to the business and to the homeowner for more. What have you done with the $2 million to meet the services that are necessary?
Mm-hmm.
The fire, the police, the social services, and all. How have you done it?
There's a difference in the town taxes and the county taxes. Part of it is working. I mean, honestly, it is working in the town level. It's working together to figure out where we're not spending money or where we can save money. Those kinds of things. We were able to. I mean, when I came on board, for instance, my predecessor had signed a contract that was an extra $40,000. The taxpayers don't pay $2 million in taxes to cover our town expenses. There are other income sources. So we were able to see where we could save some money. And, I mean, basically we've not raised taxes, certainly not more than the 2%, and we're looking at even making that less this year. And still, you know, doing the services. We haven't had to cut any services, but I think that it's on the onus on all of us to be creative thinkers and not keep doing things the way that we're always been doing them, so that we can change some of the patterns, because that's what's going to be required of us.
Well, and certainly as as each year goes by, the strains and the needs are different.
Right.
And you have to be aware and be ahead, if at all possible.
Right, right. And on the state level, I mean, when you're talking about the state level, one of the things that the state level has is requires a lot of, there's a lot of bureaucracy, basically. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of expense to following the rules that the government sets. And there's no magic, you know, we're going to just do away with something. You have to look at every single piece and see what you can cut away to help to create more efficient government and reduce people's expenses on what that burden is.
All right, you just brought in the Senate in Albany. If elected, what are your goals? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Well, when you are traveling around this district, the thing that everybody is talking about are the jobs, the taxes, the tax burden, and the education. And in our area also, because it includes a lot of rural area, we want to make sure that we're supporting our farms, because that's obviously, if we don't have farms, we don't eat. So we need to make sure that those businesses are stable. But so the job creation and the taxes are what people are needing, and the way to address that or get to that is, again, going to as we were talking about, the steps of how do you make the bureaucracy as minimal as possible while ensuring safety and while ensuring the needs that you know, making sure that things are appropriate. There's the aspect of cutting back on making sure that aspect is taken care of, so that you can reduce the burden, so that you can help make sure your tax dollars are being used efficiently. And I think that's actually one of the first places to start with when we're talking about having responsible taxing, or not, you know, reducing people's taxes. You know, for instance, the school tax is a big burden on homeowners, and there's a formula for the education funding that needs to be looked at, because it's actually not very equitable. And so areas that are rural or areas that are very urban are hurt more by that and pay an unfair burden.
The education formula for taxation is so arcane and so dense that it takes a group of people supposedly skilled in high finance to try to figure it out. And even they don't do it well. Okay, Robin Andrews, let's talk about the Senate in another dimension. The New York State Senate is probably the most non-functional organization of almost any state. Now, I am a former resident of Tennessee, a former resident of Wisconsin, and even though we had difficult times in those days, and our politicians spent a year or two in their jobs and a year or two in jail, that was the formula. But when I came to New York, I didn't expect that. I really remembered New York of old, where we were known for good government. But in the last year or two that I've been here, the Senate doesn't seem to function.
Well, I think 2 years, over 2 years ago, that was definitely true, and you heard that loud and clear. And I do think that Governor Cuomo, who was elected 2 years ago, has made great strides in making us a more functional working government.
I'll be getting to the governor soon, but okay. Go ahead.
But I think he has made strides, and I do think that these things in government does not move at a pace of business. It moves more slowly. So I think that there has been improvements, and you need good people like myself who are not going to play into those games
But Robin, you're one of many.
That's right. But we can't lose hope. And then, everyone is a one.
Okay.
And that's, I can only be one person. And you can, and that's what we depend on the people to elect people that are going to make good decisions and make ethical decisions and make functional government. I mean, what we can't have and what doesn't work, obviously, is anybody just saying this is the way and it's my way or that or nothing, and then that's what makes dysfunctional government, because then nothing happens.
Okay, let's talk about education for a while. Now, the state senate has probably more to say about education than almost any other party. You don't select, but you approve the Board of Regents. The Board of Regents are the, they're the board of directors of the entire educational system. The Senate really could be the leader of educational reform. What do you think you could do to improve education in our state?
Well, I guess I've personally been focused on the financial aspect because that's the the area I'm the more think can make a difference to our actual taxpayers.
They're the biggest spenders of the state dollar.
And I actually would say on the committee that's reviewing the state education funding formula, there actually were nobody from there. There were finance people. There were finance people, and there weren't anybody from the schools.
Yeah.
So that was a sort of last minute improvement to make sure that we got some teachers and parents and superintendents on that commission, so that to make sure that their view of what they had to deal with was even included.
Robin Andrews, I don't think that was a plus, but go ahead.
Well, I think when you're talking about how they can spend their money and what they need to do with it, to have somebody else outside of it saying, oh, well, we think you can do this and that without knowing what the reality is.
All right, let me give you some specific concerns of mine, and I'm sure of many taxpayers. We have too many school districts.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the things that recently was changed, was even the ability to combine superintendents or school districts. There was a rule that you couldn't do it in a certain level, and that rule was just changed this year.
But so, there's a problem, though, and I, even though I would like to see fewer school districts, because I think that would be an economic help, we also have to bear in mind that you can't put a child on a school bus for over 2 hours.
No, absolutely.
I mean, that's
right.
Utterly ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something even more important than that. that the school is often the center of the community. Lose the school, lose the community. Mm-hmm. So I think there is a balance that has to be brought in.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what that balance is.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, they're tricky questions because there are obviously advantages and disadvantages to bringing schools together. It's very challenging because just the districts themselves and the identification that people have around certain schools, and yet as the population of the school children has decreased, there are fewer and fewer students that are going through the system right now, and you have to look at the infrastructure that we've created to sustain those. So when you can consolidate, obviously you don't need extra buildings, and you can share administration staff. But there, as you said, those questions are individual, you know, case by case basis in some places, because it is the balance of what is going to work.
Well, I won't identify the school district, Robin Andrews, but in Columbia County, there are school districts with 600 mm-hmm. students K through 12 mm-hmm. with a superintendent, a business manager, a high school principal, elementary school principal, and a curriculum coordinator.
Right. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. It's not very effective or efficient, and yet it's not that's an easy snap of the fingers to change.
That's the problem.
That's the challenge.
I hope as I introduce the topic, a dysfunctional Senate is not helpful in solving these problems because it has so many self problems. Mm-hmm. But as you point out, as the candidates get better and the winners are good people and sit in that Senate, they can only improve.
That's right.
And that's what we need. All righty. Now, let's go on. your opponent has a lot of political experience. Mm-hmm. How can you overcome that type of advantage? Because having lots of political friends, they are very helpful. Here's you, relatively new in the business. How do you get your people together and work?
Some people would say that's an advantage, and some people would say it's a disadvantage.
How true.
When you can be so entrenched in a system and you're all, then you might be not really listening to all the information that's coming to you with a fresh perspective. And that's
true.
And that's what I know I can bring, because I'm not beholden to anyone. I don't have any, you have to do this. I'm not going to follow, somebody's going to tell me what I have to do. I think that's a real advantage and what we are looking for, because people are needing someone to come in and say, hey, wait a minute, you might have been doing this for the last 30 years, or this is the way, and that's not okay anymore. That's not where we are. That's not what the people need. And as far as, I think you gain friends very quickly. I mean, I one of the things that's been great about this time in campaigning is getting out there and meeting so many people, and the people that are doing such great things and making such a difference, and having those people, knowing those resources, or knowing, who to call and know that this person knows about this and you can rely on those people.
Talk about campaigning. What is your feeling about it? Are you seeing people come to you and saying, at last, a breath of fresh air, somebody new?
Yeah, well, and it's been a very interesting campaign or race this year.
That's an interesting phrase.
Yeah.
It's been interesting.
Well, no, because the so much focus was on the primary.
Yes.
So the primary was between the incumbent and Kathy Marchione, the incumbent Roy McDonald and Kathy Marchione, and the expectation was that the incumbent would would win, basically. So the fact, so but it was a very heated and difficult and nasty, quite frankly, primary. So a lot
That's
of
true.
A lot of focus was on that race. So when that race changed, or when that became apparent that Kathy Marchione, then the attention became more focused on me and what the opportunities and who I was and who I am. And now there's a much clearer choice between Kathy Marchione and myself. We do represent very different, we're very different people, and I'm a moderate. She's much more conservative. And I think the district is actually quite moderate. So, you know, I think I have more of an appeal to.
When you say that Kathy is conservative, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, she has some social conservative stances, certainly.
As for
She was against marriage equality. She's a pro-life versus pro-choice candidate, and her methodology for dealing with the taxpayers is doing a lot of slashing and no spending. And I don't think that that's going to work. We need to figure out how to spend our money. We can't just cut everything off at the knees.
Since Kathy is pro-life, do you think you think women would tend to come to you? And should they?
Well, I hope that if that's an issue, I certainly hope so. And I do think that there's a Reproductive Health Act that's in front of the Senate that, takes, it's a 1970s, that was an act that was, the current legislation was on the books before Roe versus Wade. And it was a leading legislation at the time, but now it's not in that, it still puts any issues under choice under the penal code, and that's not really acceptable to me. So I think that there are some people that it's a very important issue too, and it was just endorsed this week by Planned Parenthood and NARAL to say that these are important issues. I think they're important issues to women, and they're really important issues. It's not just the pro-life, pro-choice issue. It's women's health, it's reproductive health, it's being able to take care of your body, your health, and making sure you have the resources and the opportunity to do that and make choices about your own body.
Is one of the the key points of your campaign then is women's issues?
It's certainly something I'm on a strong stance about, so that is an important aspect of the campaign.
Let's get something to into an area, Robin Andrews, that is, I think it may be a little difficult for you, but I'm curious. That's why I'm bringing it up. After the defeat of McDonald, the governor, I think the day following, said that if Roy McDonald would run as an independent or in some capacity, that the governor would endorse him.
Mm-hmm.
Did the governor call you before?
No.
He made that statement.
No, he did not. No, he did not.
The governor is a Democrat. Robin Andrews is a Democrat. Roy McDonald is a Republican. What's your feeling about that? Was there something there that didn't meet the eye? Was the governor trying to create a third party or a third candidate there, or to help you, or what?
No, I honestly think that the governor worked very hard on the marriage equality vote, and Roy McDonald was one of the people that crossed the line to allow that vote to happen
and cause his defeat.
And then in the end looked like it caused his defeat from Kathy Marchione. And I think that that's disheartening to all of us who, believe that the marriage equality is a human right should be allowed. So I totally actually understand Governor Cuomo's desire to support Roy if he wanted to go on, because that what we need in government, as we were talking about, we need to have people that are going to work together. And so I understand his his aspect to, you know, to endorse Ryan. And I think that, you know, I too want to be a senator that is willing to listen to all sides and will make good and right decisions no matter what the party is. So, you know, we're, you know, Roy chose not to run, so that endorsement didn't come to fruition. So, but I just think that that's, well, I think that was the governor's, because it's quite disheartening that it would be why he lost his vote, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Like, why lost his race.
I mean, from a casual observer, as myself and many others, it seemed that the governor didn't handle that in the best possible way. But as long as you're happy with it,
well, I certainly would not mind. Well, I certainly would not mind the endorsement from the governor. I would certainly, you know, welcome that. Obviously, and the reality is, the governor, even at that point, had not endorsed anybody. So,
yeah,
so he, so it's not like he endorsed everybody except me.
No, the governor.
So I'm going to not take it personally.
No, the governor plays it very close to the chest. Well, this has been an interesting conversation, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, me too.
Let me ask you, do you have any last words? Gee, that sounds so final, doesn't it? Let me change that.
Well, I just, you know, since we're on the radio, just to say that the website is robinandrews.org. You know, in the last week, I have been endorsed by Kirsten Gillibrand, Paul Tonko, Congressman, I should say, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Congressman Paul Tonko, Planned Parenthood, NARAL, Pride, and there's official names for these. I'm not probably giving the official names, but so that's been nice to have that support come in. I feel like we're on an engine that's moving forward and very quickly and like a rocket to the top.
Robin Andrews, I'd like to thank you very much. You're running for the Senate in the 43rd, the new 43rd, I guess. And thanks for coming.
Thank you so much, Vic. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.